If you would, please open to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Our message today is not part of a series. It's just a single message that I'm going to be preaching. And we're looking at a passage here in Matthew 7 where Jesus is addressing the crowds and he has some very, very important things to say to them. And so I'd kind of like to encourage you this morning to imagine yourself in the crowds on that day as Jesus is speaking, and you're straining to hear his every word, and you want to understand what it is that he's talking about. Matthew chapter 7, we're just going to look at verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do pray as we consider this great teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ, these words that have been recorded for us accurately, and preserve for us throughout the years that we may open our Bibles and actually hear the words of our Lord. And I pray that those words would just echo in our hearts and minds today, that we might focus our full attention on them. We might be sure that we understand what the Lord Jesus was talking about and make proper application to our lives today, that we may ensure that we ourselves are on the right way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1979, a popular rock and roll band named AC/DC produced a provocative album entitled Highway to Hell. The title track went something like this: Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, Mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. Woo! I'm on the highway to hell. And the refrain of the song just kept repeating that line again and again. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. Now, this album was very popular with 70s rockers. I broke into the top 20 on the charts. But just a few months after the album's release, Bon Scott, the lead singer of the group, went out for a night of heavy drinking. He drank until he passed out, and then he choked on his own vomit, and he died. We have every reason to believe that on that night, Bon Scott confirmed the words of his own song. It's sobering. It should be. Now, this is a heavy message today. This is what some would call a hellfire and brimstone message. Now, if you're visiting with us today, I assure you, I don't preach a message like this every Sunday. But we need to hear a message like this once in a while. We do. Next week, I'm going to preach on heaven. I hope you'll come back. It'll be a lot happier message, okay? A lot happier. But today, we're going to consider the sobering reality of hell. Now, many people are repulsed by this kind of preaching because it makes them uncomfortable to be reminded that there is a hell and that it is a place of eternal torment for lost souls. But the Bible declares this to be so. This is part of the Bible message And in fact, there are many people who reluctantly heard messages like this, and it struck them as very real, and they began to consider their eternal destiny and ultimately receive Christ as their Savior. And that's certainly my prayer today. Now think about it. If an aircraft mechanic knew that a plane was faulty and was going to crash, and he failed to warn the people that were getting on that airplane, we would think him culpable, even evil. If a structural engineer knew that a building was about to collapse at any moment, but he failed to warn the people that were in that building to get out to save their life, we would have a very low view of him. See, here's the thing. Every preacher who knows the Bible knows that there are lost sinners on their way to hell. This is the reality. The most sobering thing in the world today is that sinners are dying and going to hell today. So preachers who know the Bible cannot keep quiet about it. We must proclaim God's truth to warn lost sinners of their horrible destiny if they do not receive Christ. They need to be warned. And in fact, that's what Jesus is doing in this address to these crowds. He knows, as he looks across the crowd and sees those many, many faces, that some have trusted in him, some believe in him, some know him to be the Savior, but many have not trusted in him. Many have not come to that point of faith in Christ. And if they do not change, they are on the highway to hell. Jesus spoke of just two roads. Two roads. Let's consider each of these this morning. The first is the highway that leads to hell. Jesus says, many are on the highway that leads to hell. It's a big, broad highway, and there are many people on it. And they're completely unaware of the danger. They're like the people who lived in Noah's day, and Noah was proclaiming and warning the people God's judgment is coming, and they just laughed. They would not listen to his preaching. They mocked him. Until the day that the door of the ark was closed, and the rains came and the floods rose, and they perished. Jesus, in his teaching here, talks about this broad way, this highway to hell, and he talks about a wide gate, a wide entrance into this highway to hell. It's very broad. The modern word would be, it's very inclusive, very tolerant. Anybody who wants to can enter into this broad way to hell. There's no doctrinal statement you have to agree to. There are no moral requirements that you have to live up to. There are no restrictions on your conscience. You can live however you please. Just come on in to the highway to hell. There are no checkpoints, no speed patrols, no rules, no limits. You can believe anything you want, live any way you want, do anything you want at any time you want. You can go as fast as you want, whatever. It's a broad, wide on-ramp to the highway to hell. If it feels good, do it. Anything goes on this broad highway. And that was certainly the attitude of Bon Scott and his rock and roll friends. They were living any way they wanted, doing anything they wanted, living very high, literally. And they were scoffers. I mean, even their song that they sang was scoffing at anyone who would believe in a literal hell, because they're thinking they're just going to go there and party with all their friends. Are you a scoffer? I hope not. Are you one of the feel-good, do-it crowd on the highway to hell? Jesus' warning is, scoff all you want. It's very real. you have been warned. So he said there's a wide on-ramp. There's a broad gate that leads to this highway to hell. But let's talk about the final destination on this highway to hell. I mean, this is the reality that we need to come to grips with. This highway is going somewhere that is absolutely horrible. It's a terrible place. It is what Jesus describes here as destruction. We're talking about the eternal destruction of the soul. And most people fail to see that that's where this highway is going to take them. At 7:45 a.m. on May 26, 2002, two out-of-control river barges crashed into a support pier of the I-40 bridge across the Arkansas River. People that were traveling down that highway had no idea that the bridge was out, because the bridge had this kind of high arch to it, and as they approached the bridge, they could not see that as they went over that bridge, they would fall to their death. It caught them completely by surprise. A truck pulling a horse trailer traveling at 70 miles an hour drove full speed over the brink. And then a house trailer took the 62-foot plunge into the river. A total of 8 cars and 3 semi-trucks went over the bridge before somebody finally stopped the traffic. They never saw the disaster coming until they were free falling into the abyss. And you see, that is the problem with the highway to hell. Because rock and roll singers can sing about it and laugh about it and party, but they don't realize that there is a place where they're going to fall over that brink into the abyss. This is the way it is with people on the highway to hell. They're just cruising along on the roadway of life in complete denial of the destruction that is just ahead of them. They are like people in a boat on a river heading to a waterfall, partying, celebrating their time together, until that moment the boat tips over that edge and falls to its own destruction. This is the reality of everyone who's on the highway to hell. They're heading to destruction, eternal perdition, and they don't even realize it. Jesus is talking about the final destination of all who are lost. All those who do not know Him as Savior are on this highway, and they're in danger of eternal destruction of the soul if they do not repent. Now, this destruction that Jesus is talking about cannot be construed as some kind of temporary punishment for sin. It doesn't refer to someone committing a crime and serving their time. It's not referring to, say, someone driving under the influence of alcohol and getting into an accident and, you know, that's their punishment. No, Jesus is referring to what happens after this life. At death, when the soul is separated from the physical body, and we're told that after death, everyone must face judgment. And when they are judged, those who do not know Christ are destined for hell. Jesus made it very clear in this passage and in other passages that the destruction of the soul takes place in hell. I'd like you to hold your place here and turn over to Luke chapter 16. Here Jesus tells a story and He names. And that's an indication to us that this is not just a parable, a made-up story. This is a true story. Luke 16 and verse 19. Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Here is a man who died and went to hell, and Jesus is telling us what he experienced there. This man cried out in great torment, and he makes direct reference to a flame, the flames of hell. He says, I am being tormented in these flames. Folks, you need to warn your friends, there is no party in hell. It is a terrible place of eternal torment. So we've talked about the wide on-ramp. We've talked about the final destination. Let's talk now about the many. The many who are on the highway to hell. Let me give you a statistic. I found this interesting. According to the U.S. Highway Performance Monitoring System, didn't know there was such a thing, Interstate 75 in Atlanta tops the list of widest highways at 15 lanes. How many have driven on that road? I have driven on that road. Wow, it is an amazing highway, is it not? I mean, think of all the cars traveling down that highway. It is a broad highway with lots and lots and lots of cars on it. Where are they all going? Well, let me tell you, they're not getting there in a hurry, okay? They're probably bottled up in traffic, even on a 15-lane highway. If you've gone through Atlanta, you know what I'm talking about. See, here's the point. The highway to hell is wide enough to accommodate the population of the entire world, minus those who truly know Christ as Savior. That's how many people are on this highway. As you go about your daily lives and you're interacting with people, you know, you look at them and just pause for a moment and realize that you are looking at an eternal soul. They're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And as you look at phase after phase after phase, you begin to realize just how many people are on this highway. Lots and lots of people. Because the prevalent attitude that we see in our world today is one at dismissing a message like this. Denying that there is a hell. Denying that they're on a highway to hell. That is the prevalent attitude of our day. And so that prompts some to ask, well, can so many be wrong? Could so many people in the world be wrong about this? Could there be so many wrong religions? The answer is yes, sadly yes. For you see, the broad road is the devil's highway, and he is very busy. He wants to have as many stay his children as possible. And so we're told by Paul, we're warned in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, a reference to the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Yes, so many can be wrong. So many of your friends, co-workers, acquaintances, so many can be wrong, and they need to hear the gospel. So Paul's saying the light of the gospel needs to shine upon them. They need to hear about what Jesus did in dying on the cross to pay for their sins. They need to realize their terrible destiny if they do not repent and trust in Christ. So to the one who says, well, I'm just having fun with my friends, that's all I care about, the warning is clear. There is no comfort in numbers when you are on the broad way to hell. Now, Jesus mentions here only two paths, the narrow way and the broad way. Anyone who is not on the narrow way is by definition then on the broad way with the many who are going the wrong way. And so there are only two options. You can't be somewhere in the middle. You're either on the narrow way or you're on the broad way. Which is it? So let's direct our attention now to the narrow way. The narrow way. Jesus looked into the multitude of people standing before him and he realized that there would be few that find it. There would be some that find it. Probably many who are here today have found it. It's the narrow way to God's heaven. And Jesus speaks here of a narrow gate. The King James says straight, narrow, a very small gate that leads into this narrow way. You can think of it as kind of a one-lane on-ramp. This is the way to the narrow way. This is the way you get there. And Jesus is that narrow way. He is the way. When Thomas asked Jesus, how can we know the way, that is the way to the Father, Jesus answered in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. That's narrow, folks. It's not broad, it's narrow. Are we narrow-minded? Yes, because the Bible is narrow-minded. Jesus is the way, and he is the only way. On another occasion, Jesus used the image of a sheepfold. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10. So Jesus again and again proclaims that he is this narrow gate. He is the way. But here's where the many who are on the broad way object. They don't like it that Jesus is the only way. They don't want to accept that. They want to find their own way. They want to believe that there are many ways to heaven. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's a narrow gate. I am the way, and there is no other way. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only by the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the narrow gate. So you must trust in Christ and Christ alone to save you. That's the gate. Now let's talk about the final destination of the narrow way. It's interesting, if you look back here at Matthew 7, verse 14, Jesus says, this is the narrow way that leads unto life. It leads to life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Eternal life with God in heaven. This is the final destination of the narrow way. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Well, we know what that is. That's an eternal death in hell. That's eternal destruction. But thank the Lord, the verse goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God offers the gift of eternal life. And that's where the narrow way takes you. It takes you to that eternal life with God in heaven. Peter also speaks of what awaits us after this life as believers. In 1 Peter 1:4, he speaks of the Christian's incorruptible inheritance preserved in heaven for us. This is where we're headed, folks. If you know Christ as Savior, you're on the narrow way, and your destiny is heaven. The sad reality, Jesus says, is that there are very few who find it. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow way. There aren't tremendous multitudes on this way. There are a lot of people on the broad way. If you want to hang out with the crowds, that's where they are. But this is a way that few find. It's kind of like people lined up single file to enter through a turnstile. You know, if you've ever traveled and you've gone through those kind of turnstiles, right? I mean, it's a bottleneck there, literally, you know. Everybody's having to go through one at a time, get through this turnstile. And that's kind of what's pictured here. It's very narrow. There's just one way through. It's through Christ. The gate is narrow. The way is narrow. And there are relatively few that find it. Jesus said on another occasion in Matthew 22:14, many are called and few are chosen. Don't expect all of your friends and loved ones to agree with you when you put your faith in Christ. You may have to decide what's most important to you. Your eternal destiny or the approval of your friends. Once you've made that decision to trust Christ, you will never regret it. Your eternal destiny will be secure in Christ. And your great heart's desire will be to share the reality of the gospel with your friends, even if they mock you. Many are called. Few are chosen. Now again, some would object to this. They just don't like this idea. They say, how can it be possible that God would save only a few? Well, we have a remarkable example of this in our Bibles. And that is the flood in the time of Noah. You know, Noah was preaching to these people. He was preaching the message they needed to hear. He was warning them of God's wrath to come, and they rejected his message. Do you know how many people entered that ark and were saved? Out of all the people on the earth, just 8 people. 8 souls. God's not going to lower his standard for anyone. The only people who are going to be allowed into his heaven are the ones who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ. Those who have the imputed righteousness of Christ, they're the ones who will gain access to heaven, and no one else. There is no safety in numbers. Running with the crowd is the wrong way to go. Far better to be among the few who are on the narrow way and whose destiny is heaven. We want to consider one question in closing today. And that is, how do you get off of the broad way and get onto the narrow way? Well, we've already talked about it, haven't we? We've talked about that one lane on ramp, the one way. It is through Christ. You must enter through Christ. You must put your faith in what Jesus did when He died on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. Remember what I said earlier? The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that penalty. But the requirement is that you must believe that He died for you. That your sin nailed Him to that cross. That your sin would keep you out of heaven. And that no matter how hard you work to be righteous, you would not be righteous enough to enter into heaven. You need Christ. You need His righteousness. That is the narrow on-ramp to the narrow way. Let me tell you a true story. Mel Trotter was the son of a bartender who drank as much as he served. Trotter followed in his father's footsteps, losing job after job because of his addiction to alcohol and gambling. Now, every time he lost a job, he promised to reform himself, you know, to turn around, to start doing better. But each time he failed. It was after the death of his baby son that Trotter reached the end of his rope. He made his way to Chicago, where he intended to drown himself in Lake Michigan. He had sold his shoes to get money for another drink. And so this man was literally walking barefoot through the streets of Chicago toward his death. As James says in James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Brings total destruction, as Jesus put it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. When Mel Trotter was yet on his way, he happened upon Pacific Garden Mission. You may have heard of that ministry. Something compelled him to go inside, and when he went inside, he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He heard the truth of the gospel. And it got a hold of his heart. He realized how desperate he was. He needed to be saved. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And it changed his whole life. It changed the way that he was on. Because he was on that broad way that leads to destruction, that leads to death. But having received Christ, he was on the narrow way to God's heaven. For the next 40 years, Mel Trotter did everything he could to help those like himself who had fallen prey to the sins that he had. He told people about Christ. He shared the gospel with them. This was his heartbeat. Why? Because he was saved. He was saved from hell and on his way to heaven. Jesus is the only entrance into the sheepfold. He is the only way to the Father. To be saved, you must believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. You must trust Him as your Savior. And when you do this, you will enter the narrow way. And you will be on your way to heaven. Our Father, we thank You for this message today. We know that it is a sobering message, but perhaps one that someone here really needed to hear today. We are sobered by the reminder that hell is a real place. That Jesus himself is warning us to not be on the broad way to that place. To not just go along with the crowds, go along with the flow, but to exit that broad way and enter into the narrow way through him. Lord, I pray for any who might be here today who really need to make this decision. They've been putting it off. They've been delaying. Just a little more time to party, a little more time for fun, a little more time for sin to run its course. Lord, I pray that the sobering reality of hell will bring them to that point of saving faith. Do a work in the heart of each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.